Well, hello, folks. Welcome back to Divas, Diamonds, and Dollars podcast. We empower today's lady boss who seeks whole life strategies for living their best life. We bring you the key success principles to support you as you grow into the best version of yourself, offering helpful tips on personal finance, leadership, and business to help you get ahead and succeed at a higher level. Folks, we are your hosts, Larissa Troach and
Cecilia Bedford.
How's your math, folks? We got your 100,000. We got your million. I mean, well, we would all love to have that many followers. Or am I just speaking for myself? I'm sure I'm not. Even having 1,000 or 10,000 could make a real difference to our bottom line. But how do we attract and engage that many followers or members of our adoring community? That then is our topic for today. But
Wow,
first,
that's going to be very interesting. Very interesting. It's interesting as I stopped at my tax accountant and she asked me about our podcast and she actually wrote it down. And she said, how does this work? And I'm sitting here looking at my time like, okay, I can't get into a conversation. I said, well, I'd love to talk to you about some other time. But anyway, but the follower business part came up. So that's kind of time. I thought that was interesting. But folks, in keeping with what we have been doing for the month of February, you must be enlightened with Black History Month. Public service announcement. I was thinking the more I read some things that I would love to just have do this so much longer, but I hope each of these have been, something worthwhile to each of you. And the longer part is this, because I read this and I just can't understand where we are in this country today about not sharing everybody's history. I do mean everybody's history. But here is the two nuggets today. I'm hoping everybody who listens would nod their head with this and share this with somebody else, this, information, how important this is. So now people kind of don't necessarily believe surveys that they hear. I don't either, but you know what? Surveys will always be a tool. So a survey was publicized yesterday talking about where the presidents ranked. All 45 presidents, very, very interesting. So I'm going to call out, since this is Black History Month, President Obama ranked number 7. That's wonderful. So, our first Black president, as I remember recently talking to some kids or somebody, they didn't know who he was because they weren't born. All right.
My.
Okay, so, yeah. And what we're going to talk about today is the impact. Okay, so everything I'm going to talk about today is because of their impact. So I want to lead into 100 Black inventors. Again, simply amazing. And what's amazing is that these are things that they changed the world. They're still here. And a lot of these happened back during slavery, okay? So don't let anybody tell you slavery didn't exist. It did. And don't necessarily fall for the line about whether it was beneficial for Blacks. That's not why these people did what they did, because they did not benefit, most of them. But the world benefited. So let's call it what it is, okay? And I don't know why we're stuck on George Washington Carver, Benjamin Banneker. I mean, two great contributors to society. But I want to call out other people that one may not think about. The first African-American to hold a patent, he was actually born free in 1791. And so he established his own tail and dry cleaning business. So the dry cleaning business is called dry scouring process. So there you have it. Precursor to the modern dry cleaning. Dough kneader and roller. This is a woman. And I didn't say that guy's name, did I? Thomas Jennings. And then Judy Reed. So she invented a dough kneader and a roller that really revolutionized the baking industry and making preparing dough more efficient. Her invention actually significantly influenced commercial baking. Hey, look at all the Americans. What do? Oh, there's a lot of commercial baking going on. I'm here to tell you. Yeah, we're never going to get rid of that, right? I mean, it's just so many. I'm just kind of scrolling through. James Fortin, 1776 to 1842. So you know this was, during slavery time. But he did serve in the U.S. Navy during the Revolutionary War. He was captured by the British. But his invention was ship sails handles. And so after the war, he actually became an apprentice sailmaker, and he developed this equipment to help handle ship sails, significantly improving efficiency. All right, so I'm kind of watching my time on this because, again, I could really be talking a lot of this. How many know what a Gini coupler is? I actually learned this a few years ago when we took a semi-cross-country train trip because my grandson was really into trains. And things happen. So I learned a lot. And plus, he has taught me a lot about trains. But Andrew Beard was born into slavery, but he became one of the country's most brilliant inventors. So even before he worked for various rail companies, he invented a flour mill, several plows, and a rotary steam engine. But while working for the railroads, he invented the Jenny coupler, which automatically links and locks two train cars as they are bumped into each other, eliminating the m need for the manual labor of hooking up, inserting the metal pin and whatever. So again, that's, it's just amazing the genius of people. And so over 100 inventors includes both Black men and Black women. And so I hope not to just leave it there for you, but that you will just go out and look for yourself. Hey, we got prototype designs for shoes. Everybody's designing their own shoes. So the first shoe lasting machine was invented by Jan Ernst Mazilliger. And he's spent a considerable amount of time doing this, but changing the output of 50 pairs of shoes a day to between 150 and 700 pairs daily. So there you have your very good, oh my gosh, who knew? Long-lasting Black inventors.
You know, when you said Jenny Coupler, I did not know, but I guessed. I guessed accurately. And I was wondering when you're talking about how the presidents were ranked. So in terms of their effectiveness, so Obama was number 7 out of 45, right? That's pretty impressive.
Yes.
Wasn't ranked that
And well, and I'm just going to throw this little tidbit out because we are talking about the cosmopolitan outlook. And then there's one ranked last, and you just don't get where we are today with what you see on TV and what who people follow. Because we're going to talk about the positive cosmopolitans in the world.
Yes. Use your superpowers for good. That's what we're talking about, gentle persons. And just to give you a little bit of framework, as we like to do, so that you can really let these nuggets sink in terms in Cecilia's vernacular. Your presence, your passion, or your platform, and the way you convey your message can have a lasting impact on others. And for most of us, that is something that we're working toward. You know, it's our part of our legacy. We do want to make a difference while we are here. So these are key factors in finding your tribe. Mastering the art of charisma will help you build an engaged community of supporters as you work toward those really big goals. So keep these in mind. This has been an interesting journey. It kind of makes me look at people a little differently and trying to see what's your secret sauce? So, although we are talking about public figures today, consider this: they all put on their pants one leg at a time, just like we do. So, Consider what other similarities come to mind as you listen to the examples in this episode. Can you share? The charismatic among us.
That's and again, we talk about sometimes people say what you're forced to see, whether it's the news or your, what's the word, X account or Facebook, whatever, social media, or just people in your local community. Sometimes you do wonder. And I met with a group of ladies on Monday, and we kind of talked a little bit about this. And one of before I kind of, as I'm thinking about who these people would look like, we did talk about what we see and how we, based on our experiences, have to stay the course. It's the things we've talked about this month about our etiquette, our leadership, our personalities and how we communicate with people. And so I think that kind of opens up the lens of what who I would portray. I'm going to start with Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama, in my mind, is when she opens her mouth, people listen. I think of her. It was a used to be an old commercial investor, E.F. Huffman. When E.F.
Right, I
Huffman
love that.
speaks, right?
Right. When Eve Hutton speaks, everybody listens.
Listen,
I
that's right. It's this one phrase you never forget. And so I'm going to put that on Michelle Obama. Who doesn't love a confident woman in power? Okay, that's speaking to, women. Because sometimes men don't, but you know what? We're not talking about them right now. So, Michelle Obama has been described as very approachable, caring, empathetic, and an air of authenticity. So important because, I don't necessarily want to be in somebody's sphere. All the fans are hovering around somebody, and that makes somebody think they're approachable or that they're empathetic, but that not necessarily. So let's add the other two, grace and passion. All of those things connect with Michelle Obama. And that's a type of person that I would look up to, that I do look up to. And it's grace and passion for the causes that are important to her. Because she invites you to listen to her. She's relatable, and I've read her books, so just the fact that you do feel like she's one of us, but better, right? And the way she has communicated who she is, but things that she's gone through. So the light in us really is indicative of what we're talking about, what comes out of a person. So, she's not lacking in self-confidence, but she has shown you how she had to get to that point. All right. And because of that, empathetic and, she inspires others to have confidence in her abilities and her message. People listen. So she's going to communicate in such a way that people really feel like she understands her audience. Okay. She is a very expressive, dynamic speaker. So while, a lot of this came from the Forbes magazine, but it also, I've read this in other communications. Oprah Winfrey is still doing it. I'm just, even here in our local newspaper, there was an article about the Super Bowl, and there's a young man here who is responsible for all the logistics for the Super Bowl halftime show. He's from here. And so there was a big story about him. The guy who does finds these stories is just an amazing guy. It's like, how does he find these human interest stories? Okay. But Oprah Winfrey's in this story about how relatable she was to this guy. So, people wonder, well, what's the secret to her following? And I must say, for somebody who's followed her for a very long time, if you're just catching her now, you're missing something. For she has a story, so go check it out. So I'm really speaking to the people to say, why are people still so in love with her after all these many years? She never ran for office, although people wanted her to. She's had to put down the rumors. Nope, not doing that. Jeremy Young, who is a historian who studies charisma, once tweeted that next to Oprah, Obama seems like a plotted plan. Interesting. Interesting. That's one's perspective. But the same person called Oprah the most charismatic person in America because she has the most devoted following in America. That's a quote. And so I think the fact that she was able to get Prince Harry and his wife to sit down to, do an interview with her, or even Adele. I'm only mentioning those because they're fairly recent interviews, but it's the way she communicates and gets them to open up. That to me is her message, because in many cases, she is one about uplifting people and helping, them, self-help and the ability to improve your life through dedicated work. That's resonated with many, many followers. A lot of mostly, women. When she had her own show, she was doing so many things for women. Even she has a school in South Africa for young girls. So just think about that. Followers all over the world. So, okay, let's bring a guy in here. All right. Bill Clinton. All right. So what's up with Bill Clinton, right? Other than the fact that he played a saxophone, which I love. So, I listen to most saxophone players. So, here's a president who plays a saxophone. How exciting, right? Exciting, maybe a little sexy. Let's, call it. Did this serve to humanize him, give him more of an everyman vibe? I think so. It's really true that there are people who follow, with certain people of a certain stature, but really people do get behind someone. Oh, he's just like me. He does this. You know what I'm saying? That's what a lot of people will, say something about. Now, he, great speaker in terms of how he connects with people, his whole eye contact. Hey, if you listen to him long enough, and since he's been a president, I've heard him speak at funerals and things that really gravitate to the whole audience, and you're captivated by listening to him, okay? There's an old blog by Michael Ellsberg, and here I'm going to read this, that feeling of we were the only two people in the room. A lot of times that's what people want, okay? And so I would say that Bill Clinton fosters that. So what's the takeaway? Well,
Leave President Clinton. I think I asked you this before after it happened to me. I to your point about seeing him speak at funerals and other events, I mean, we've seen him in the political arena, but I use the word many years ago, I used to attend all these conferences and events, and he was at a Success magazine convention, and I had heard about his quote unquote charisma, and I was not into Bill. I'm still not into Bill per se, but I didn't really know what that meant, but having heard him speak, I was like, oh, that's what they meant.
That's right.
Because I totally sat up and paid attention, and I'm not in, I mean, it was not on politics. It wasn't a political speech. It was on being successful. And so obviously, his message was on point, but I was paying attention. I was like, oh, that's what they mean. So yeah, so that was pretty interesting. Once you hear these things. And then when you see it in the real, I think that really kind of brings it home.
Yes.
Very interesting to me. I don't know. Have you seen him live?
I did. I saw him on a in a success.
Oh, so you
Yeah,
saw
they brought
him.
a, these huge, they bring all these people together and all these motivating speakers. Yes.
So that's what it was. How funny. We went to the same type of event, different
Yes.
times, I'm sure, but cool.
Yeah.
He
It's
was
for
on.
leadership development, but bringing in all these motivational speakers and why, their leadership journey and all the. When you leave out of there, you're supposed to be ready to go take on the world, that sort of thing.
I kind of miss those. I don't know where they went, but
Yeah,
anyway.
right. We don't have those anymore. But
Okay.
so as we've talked about, famous people who are considered charismatic, it's pretty clear that they all have similar adjectives. They have their own personalities, and that it created them as individuals, but they found but how they use their voice to draw people through their style of communicating, their appearance, the attraction to want to sit up and take note to listen. And so one last comment I'll make about this. So in my last emotional intelligence course that I took, every one of these people are listed.
Well,
So
sure.
that should tell you something about the importance of having that it factor.
So many things to work on. What to do? What to do? And I can only continue the conversation about other charismatic leaders in the public eye. Now, the preceding and the following examples have many of the same characteristics as Cecilia actually just said. However, consider the different personalities and how this makes them all different. Charismatic, yes, but inspiring in different ways, I think, is the takeaway. It's like, we're not trying to suggest you cookie, be cookie cutters. We're just trying to give you some attributes that you can aspire toward and work toward, because what? Charisma can be learned. So we try to describe not just the characteristics, but more importantly, the impact they had on others and you in the pu your public's eye, at the head of your community, your tribe, your business. It's important that we embrace these aspects of leadership. So I think it's a goal worth working toward. And now Cecilia had the Mrs. I have the Mr. I just wanted to talk to you about Barack Obama. I kept him for myself. Because you know what it is, I'm gonna tell you this. This is the truth. His I mean, this was I've never met him. I've not had the fortune of meeting him or seeing him in person either, just on TV. But he so reminds me of the high school boyfriend in that he's tall and lanky in the way he walks. That's what I think about when I see him. He's warm, he's eloquent, and he appears approachable. And so he's got that persona. So I'm already gravitating toward him. And I'm just going to say, these same characteristics, warmth, eloquence, and approachable, not the high school boyfriend. Yeah. Can be attributed to his wife, Michelle. And so, it begs the question, opposites attract or like attracts like. So I can agree, of course, that he captured the public's imagination by creating a vision of a possible bright future because we were in so in need of a bright future. A textbook visionary, I was saying that he had this vision and he brought everyone along with him. To Cecilia's point about being the seventh most impactful president, I think that's very telling. His eloquence actually drew me in. I'm not into politics, no political junkie, but I will say his oratory skills, if you were compelling. He displays a demonstrable emotional intelligence and self-confidence, and that is very attractive. Personally, I love a confident man. That's
Oh,
my,
yeah, I'm out there with you, honey.
yes. So,
And I'm just gonna say, I don't want to say this. Excuse me for interrupting, but you're so right. Even people who are in public, but there was somebody on. I can't say too much because I really don't want to really bring attention to it. But public person, and testify, and I'm like, look, dude, you sounding awfully wimpy. You're sounding really wimpy for the position that you have. So several other women had that same comment. So I'm right there with you.
So interesting, so interesting. I can listen all day to good speakers, like, I got time for all that. But it's very, very that's the thing for me. I'm gonna say confident, excellent communicators. Oh, I'm all in. Sign me up. And another person now, it's not like I learned of this person on my success journey because I was a sponge. I was soaking it all in. So naturally to me, I say naturally, the name Sir Richard Branson came up. Now you see his face everywhere, or you did. And One call out for him is that he is reportedly dyslexic. And I would say that because people usually consider that a disability, but look at how much he's achieved. And so now the phrase is differently abled. And I guess this is really key to this is very applicable. So he's a charismatic visionary for sure. We remember, we know, was that Virgin Airlines? And when I worked in San Francisco, there used to be a Virgin music store for a minute. But the Virgin Group controls 400 countries. And now that was quoted by the India Times, but I think
Companies. I think you said countries, 400 countries.
I am okay. 400 companies, according to the
It's
India Times.
huge, huge.
Because I'm trying to, just manage my little mini conglomerate of what, four, 400 is unfathomable to me.
Right, yes.
But that's the power of his vision and his charisma that he brings people in. Richard Branson has a well-earned reputation as a risk taker, but no one achieves great things on their own. He's an action taker and inspires others to join him on his many entrepreneurial journeys. I already said 400. That's many. Now, I didn't think about this when I was putting this together, but we're kind of reflective. We're like two sides of the same coin because I'm also going to tell you about Gayle King. I really like Gayle King, again, TV persona. I have not met the woman. And now, perhaps she became famous for being Oprah Winfrey's best friend. But don't forget, she is an award-winning journalist and has many accolades to her name. And I hope you all know who these people are. If you don't, you're gonna have to do some serious Google time. Gayle King has a keen ability to connect with interviewees and uses the power of storytelling to great effect. So I'm want to finish it up and say that she has a true ability to connect with others, coming across as authentic and compassionate. So
And she meets any strangers.
say again.
I think it's been said she meets no strangers.
Uh-huh.
She can talk, someone said, talk to anybody. I don't know, it's out of something, but yeah. People
Yeah.
talk to any stranger on the street or anybody.
Well, I think when I told you about that woman in the store and you going up to the woman in the new restaurant. So I'm hoping that you heard some, I was gonna say buzzwords. It's not even the buzzwords, but the keys to take away from these different people. And as you picture them in their sphere, in their zone of genius, right? They all have their specific zone of genius. Now, I did not know that about Bill Clinton until I was doing the research for this about his eye contact and how it's very personable and draws you in. I didn't know that was his thing. But that blog was very interesting. I was gonna forward it to you. It was so interesting. It's like I had no idea. But we can all, I hope, look at these names and have a clear picture of what we're trying to share with you. Because, when I think about a Barack Obama, obviously there's a picture of him bending down so the little boy can touch his hair. Is there anything approachable? Because nobody, you better not touch my hair. So, it's just so different and how important how everyone's got their little special, I'm going to say it again because I'm at loss for words, but secret sauce. They've got that something. And we want you to develop your own something. So, when considering how to improve your interpersonal skills, always keep in mind that the art of pulling people in your orbit is best done with integrity. I did not want to get away from that. So, because there are people who do not use their powers for good, and it works either way, but we're talking about the good side, the shiny side of the coin. Because you can learn these skills, but when you learn them, do it with integrity. And how you, because the goal is to grow your community and, community of devoted followers and or supporters to help you as you grow into the best version of yourself. And we do need our tribe with us as we travel along. Well, anywho, that has been an interesting journey because I think all these people are very fascinating. And I hope you understand that there are many people considered, like I said, the particular call outs, even if you didn't have the name, the different call outs. And who do you know in your real life like that? You are drawn to many particular people. Now you know why. So your action item, if you will, is to choose a role model, perhaps from today's list or someone you know personally. Choose three characteristics that you can incorporate into your own lexicon and create your own brand of charisma. Take action on that today. And guess what? We are turning the page on the calendar for a new theme for next month, and we are going to be redefining La Vida Buena. What then does the good life mean to you? We will see you next week. Cheers.